your coach is trying to find your niche but's getting a bit frustrated and stuck, stay tuned. I'm going to give you a step-by-step process to identifying the best niche for you and your business. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Wholehearted Business Show. I'm Laura Agar Wilson, and this is the podcast that's dedicated to helping you start and grow coaching business you love the wholehearted way. Let's get started. Hi there, welcome to the Wholehearted Business Show. I'm Laura. I help health, life and spiritual coaches get more clients, generate more income so they can live their most aligned life. And today on the show, we're talking all things niche. Now, this is a really interesting topic for me. I massively struggled with niche for years and years. I wanted to do all the things. I am team multi-passionate, so I love lots and lots of different areas of work. I love talking about things. I love helping people in different areas. Like, I am hyper multi-passionate, I think. So I really struggled with finding a niche for my business for a long time. And it's only really recently that I feel really happy with the niche that I've got and really comfortable that it makes sense to me and it makes sense to other people and that it's really working for me. So I've learned a lot in the process of getting to the point where I feel good about the niche that I've got, but also the fact that I've got a niche that doesn't box me in and that doesn't make me feel stifled and uncreative. So I'm going to kind of break down just some steps that you can take to help you discover what your niche might be, and also a little bit of chat around how to not get boxed in if you're like me and a little bit multi-passionate as well. I actually did a blog post all about how to find your niche as a multi-passionate, and I will link to that in the description as well if you want to check that one out. So first of all, what is a niche or a niche if you're American? Although I really, guys in the States, I love you, but I'm sorry, I hate niche. I just hate that word. It's niche. But anyway, what on earth is a niche and why do you need one? So a niche is basically a specific area of work that you do as a coach. And it's really about defining that. And by defining that, the kind of concept, the theory goes that it's easy for people to find you because they know that you do that thing. So if they've got the problem, you are talking about how you work in this area, it's more obvious, like that's the person who would go to. It also means that if people are going to refer, people aren't, through word of mouth, it's easier because they know it's very clear what it is that you do. It also helps you differentiate yourself from other coaches as well. And I think sometimes we talk about niche and messaging as one thing, because often, like, that differentiation, part of it comes down to messaging, which for me is something slightly different to niche. So I think your niche is that, define that area of work that you do and the things that you help people with, which we're going to dive into in a second. I think messaging is more about your values and the way that you do that. So that's a slightly separate thing, but also very connected too. So how narrow does your niche actually have to be? Now, some people will advise you to have a super narrow niche. And by that, I mean something like, I help 25-year-old students who live in halls, have healthier habits. That is a super specific niche because you're talking to 25-year-olds who are students who live in halls. It's like a really specific narrow niche. And in some ways that can be beneficial because it's very clear where those people are. It's very clear who it is that you help. It's very clear to identify those people and all of that. But at the same time, like, that is a super narrow niche, and actually just building your business around that would probably feel a little bit stifling, if not boring as fuck after a while, I would say. I think I would get a bit bored if it was that specific. Basically, I think with niching, it's about finding a niche that feels good for you to inhabit, because this is what it is. This is going to be your world. We'll dive into some of this in a second, but you're going to have to be talking about this topic and living and breathing it for potentially a lot of years. So I think really the most important thing is that it feels good to you. Yes, it needs to make business sense, but at the same time, like, if it's so narrow that it doesn't feel good to you to work in and that you're going to get bored, then that's going to backfire anyway. And in fact, when it comes to the topic of niching, some people take the approach that they are the niche. And this is actually much more aligned with what I would generally advise people, is that actually when you see yourself, you and your interests, the way that you look at the world, the things that you help people with, the things that light you up, like, that's just as much part of your niche as the other ways that you might define it in terms of who it is that you help and the problems that you help them solve. A great person who talks about this on Instagram is Simone Soul. I will put a link to her Instagram. She's talked about this in a few different ways, and I really love that about her. And she really embodies that, this the niche is you concept. So do check her out if you want to see more of that in action. But yeah, there's definitely benefits for niching, but it's finding that balance between like your self-expression and what you enjoy and your creativity, and having a niche that makes sense from a business perspective as well. So let's talk about how you go about identifying your niche. So step one for me would be to identify your passions and the things that really light you up. And this is thinking about the topics that you could talk about all day long. It's the questions that people might ask you. If friends always come to you for advice, what is it that they're asking for advice about? What's that area? What do you read books on? What do you watch YouTube videos on? What do you listen to podcasts on? Like, what really fires you up? And I think a big part of this as well, actually, is looking at your own life and your own transformation, because nearly always, and I mean, I'm going to give away the biggest tip at the start, but nearly always for most coaches, their niche ends up being very similar to a transformation or a shift that they themselves have experienced. So very often we will go through something and we will end up coaching people around the same area. We'll have some kind of awakening or some kind of transformation. So for me personally, it was a massive weight loss journey that I went through, and that was what led to me becoming a coach. And then I supported people on a similar kind of journey. And then again, to be honest, like, my niche has always followed the trajectory of the things that I've been personally working through and experiencing. And that has always just made a lot of sense to me, because that's usually where my passions are. That's usually where my knowledge and skills is most up to date. And it's always flowed really nicely from that place. But that's not to say that it has to be that either. So really think about what you're passionate about, what really gets you out of bed in the morning, what books you're reading, what people are asking you about, because you are going to be talking about this topic like a lot. So it needs to be something that you're passionate about. Like, I am like 70 odd episodes into this show, and I could literally talk about running a coaching business all day long and not get fed up. Hopefully my passion shines through for this topic, but I could talk about this a lot because I just really love it and I really live and breathe it. And that needs to be the case for you with your niche as well. And then once you've identified the things that you are really passionate about, the things that really fire you up, you want to do a little bit of market research. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit towards the end of the episode about profitable niches, because that is something that obviously we want our niches to be profitable. I'm not doing a separate episode of the show talking about just profitable niches, because honestly, all niches need to be profitable. That just should be as standard. If we're running a business, we need to have a niche that's going to be profitable. It's not like a separate thing that we look at independently. It needs to be all part of the same thought process. But we want to do some market research. So I'm going to link to an episode of the show that I did all about market research. I will have the link in the description. If you want to learn more about how to approach market research, and that can be as simple as doing some questionnaires with people, getting some people on calls, and just asking them questions about your area of work to find out a bit more about the problems that they might be having, what it is that they're experiencing around this whole area, and also to find out a little bit in terms of like what kind of support they might seek out around the problems that they're having. So that can be really helpful, and also can give you a lot of juicy information that you can take and use for your copy later down the line as well. And then the next step, there's two parts to this, is to look at your competitors, or also don't look at the competition whatsoever. So I'm of the kind of school of thought of, I don't like to think about competitors in the coaching business. I honestly don't think people sit and look at coaches in that way, generally speaking. Some people might do, but generally speaking, like, I've never sat down and thought, oh, I've got this coach here and I've got this coach here, and which one should I work with, and weigh them up. Like, I've never done that. I've just been that I like that person and I want to work with them. And it's a completely different process. So I don't tend to think about competition. And also, I find it just a generally and not very helpful like way to look at things, is to think of all these people in competition with me. Although in reality, like, they are, but I just don't tend to think of it. And this also comes down to that whole concept of the niche being you and you being the niche of one. And the fact is, no one else is you. So from that point of view, that can be a really helpful thought. But at the same time, it might be helpful for you to look at some other coaches in the similar kind of area to your niche, and just to see what it is that they're doing. Now, if this is going to cause a lot of comparison, don't do it, because it's not worth the negative vibes, to be honest. But if it feels okay to you, have a look and see what they're doing, with the idea of how can you be better? How can you be different? How can you be more you? And to be honest, the only question you really need to be asking here is how can you be more you? Because there's no point in being anyone else than yourself. So you can look at the competition, you can look at other coaches if it feels good. But again, it's to answer those questions, like how can you differentiate yourself from them? But like I say, I kind of want to say the answer to that is just to be more you, basically. So at this stage, you've identified what you're really passionate about. You've done some market research to see if the whole idea of this niche has got some legs to it. You might have had a little look at the competition, or perhaps you haven't, and that's totally fine. And then at this stage, it might be really good to coach some test clients. So you might want to do this for free or at a discounted price. My course, Prices Power Hours, would take you through all of that kind of process. This also counts a little bit as market research as well. But this is really good just to basically get some testimonials, to see if you enjoy working with people around this kind of area, to see what kind of results you can get for people. It can just be a really good process to work with some test clients and see how it all goes, what the process is like, you know, what this kind of area of work entails, like all of that kind of jazz, basically. So that's a really good kind of final step in identifying it. And if those calls go well, and if that coaching goes well, then it sounds like you've probably got a really good niche to get working with and to start working with in your business and to build your business around. So I wanted to just quickly talk about this whole concept of a profitable niche. Now, I'm not gonna, because firstly I was thinking, oh, maybe I should do a completely separate episode of the show just talking about what is a profitable niche. But honestly, like if we're talking about niching, whatever discussions we're having about niching has to include profitability, because or else we're not going to have a business. Do you know what I mean? Like, we need our niches to be profitable. So I'm very much bringing my own mindset and assumptions and stuff to this, and also my experience as someone who's been in business for a while. But I tend to find that you need to find a niche, and you need to, and really what I want to say with niching is you need to be clear on the problems that you're solving for people and the aspirations that you're helping them achieve. That's really what you want to be clear on, generally speaking. And I'm going to talk a bit about the narrow niche versus like broader niche in a second, but generally speaking, you need to be clear on the problems that you solve and the aspirations that you're helping people achieve. So the questions that you want to be asking yourself around this is, do you feel that, and this is, I always find this a slightly uncomfortable question because I don't like thinking of people in pain and suffering, but often our jobs as a coach is to help alleviate people's problems and pain and suffering so that they can live, you know, their best life, basically. But you need to be asking yourself around your niche, are there people who are experiencing these problems and it's having such an impact on their life that they are actively seeking out solutions? Now, I think there's some niches that are like nice to have, and like where the outcomes are like a nice to have thing, and some niches where the outcomes are really valuable and really important to people. And obviously at the end of the day, what you've got is that in some cases, like there will always be people who will value the thing that it is that you're going to help people achieve. There's always going to be someone out there who is going to value that. So that's one way to look at it, is that there's always people going to be out there who will value it enough to pay for a full coaching package. But is there enough people out there who are going to value it enough to pay for a full coaching package? And what you tend to find is that when it's things that are really heavily impacting people, health, relationships, money, those kind of things that have a really significant impact on people's lives, that's where people are more likely to be actively seeking solutions and happier to invest more money in getting a solution to them. That doesn't mean that your business won't work if you're not addressing one of those issues, because what you might find is that if your niche is more of a nice to have thing, people still want to have solutions to that, but it might just be that the higher ticket kind of cost for coaching, that might not be the best way to make money, that your business model might need to be slightly different. So I'm saying this with a massive caveat, because like I say, ultimately, I honestly believe that most niches generally can work, but it's about how easy it is to find the people who value that enough that they're willing to drop a considerable amount of money on getting a solution to that via coaching. So there's lots of intricacies in that, and this is very general, but I feel like that's what I'm seeing in the coaching world and in the coaching industry. So it might just be that, like I say, thinking about what your niche is, thinking about the problems that you solve, the aspirations that you help people achieve, and really looking at like where those people are, who are experiencing those things, and to what level they are willing to invest. And like I say, there's always people out there who are willing to invest. Trust me, people will buy all sorts of stuff. absolutely. And sometimes it actually just comes into how good you are at selling and how good you are at marketing and how good you are at branding as well. So that's another element of it as well. So what I don't want to say is that there's any niches that will not work, because I honestly believe that there's most niches, apart from ones that are like totally out of left field, but I think most niches will work in the coaching industry. But your business model and your approach to branding and marketing and sales might have to be different depending on what it is. So hopefully that makes sense when it comes to profitable niches. Like I say, your health, your relationships, your money, like those kind of things are always pretty solid things that people will invest in, because when those things aren't going well, they cause people to not be happy, and people want to be happy and people want to have more contentment and more joy and all those things. Let me know if you've got any, if you're listening on the podcast, pop me a DM. And then finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about my kind of wholehearted approach to niching. And this is something that I've came up with because of my struggles with identifying a niche for all of those years. Now, what I really struggled with was, as a health coach, I really wanted to do like work across a really wide area. Now, I talked about self-care as I came towards the end of my kind of health coaching journey as a health coach. And I mean, I still do health coaching. I came back off from being a health coach at a retreat recently and I really enjoyed it. I don't see myself as an ex-health coach. I feel like I still am a health coach in many ways. But anyway, I really wanted to talk about self-care and very generally about all the different areas that includes things like decluttering and mindset and productivity and all of these different things that I wanted to talk about. So it was really quite broad. And I think I really struggled with feeling like I was communicating it adequately. But what I tended to find actually was that just from what I was putting out there, people got it. Like, people got me. People bought my stuff. People worked with me as a coach. Like, people got it because of what I was putting out there. And what I tend to believe with niching is that you can have a more broad overarching niche, almost, I've been talking about this with clients recently, almost like thinking about what the umbrella is that contains all of the stuff underneath. So it's thinking about how you would describe, like, the language that you would use for this umbrella that kind of comes over the top of all of the things that you want to talk about in your business. I think you can have that approach as long as the closer you get to the sale, the more specific you become. So this is really important. When you're getting to the point where you want people to part with their money and to invest in working with you, whether that's a coaching program or a digital product or course, you need to be very clear about the problems that you're solving and the aspirations that you're helping people achieve, and also the outcomes that they're going to get as a result of doing that course or program or that coaching package. I think the balance with this, and like I said, there are pros and cons, absolutely. And some people will say, no, you should absolutely have a really clearly defined niche and that it's not helpful. But I honestly think if you're multi-passionate like me, you don't really have a choice in the matter. Like, you just can't work any other way. So this for me has always worked really well. I've linked to that old blog post that I did about how a niche is a multi-passionate, but I think that really sums it up. I think if you can come up with the umbrella that fits all the things underneath that you want to fit, that makes sense, then that can work really well. What I will say, however, is where it gets tricky is if you have multiple things going on underneath and it's a different person that it's for. Now, this is where I got a little bit tricky when I was trying to do the business coaching and the self-care stuff at the same time. What I found really tricky was that I had a massive bunch of people where business was completely irrelevant to them and it just didn't make any sense. Now, what I could have done is I could have done self-care for coaches and self-care for people in business, but generally speaking, coaches, not always, but often we were the people who have our shit together. So it didn't quite kind of work, that combination. But I still see my work now as a business mentor. Part of what that is about how we can thrive. And actually, my work now really has always felt like an extension of the work that I did around health, because what I found was one of the best things I ever did for my self-care was start my own business, because I fucking hated working for someone else. I hated the 9 to 5. I hated having to go and sit in some shitty office every day of the week. Like, I did not enjoy that. And starting a business and starting a coaching business has absolutely been one of the best things that I've done for my self-care. So it was actually really like nice extension of that. And I've always seen it in that way. So basically, if you are like me and you like talking about a lot of stuff, now my niche is defined, as you will hear me say at the start of every episode of the show, as working with health, life and spiritual coaches, basically business to consumer coaches. And that's quite broad in niche terms. Some people would probably say, Laura, why don't you focus on health coaches, or why don't you focus on life coaches? But I would just feel, and to be fair, like, there's not a massive amount of difference, but I would just feel a bit stuck and a bit bored. I like talking about different things. And I like the fact that I do a lot of stuff under that general heading of helping business to consumer coaches grow their coaching business. Like, I can talk about all sorts of stuff under that, and it just feels really fun. And that's how I want my business to feel. There you have it. A slightly different take, I think, on niching that I've talked about there. And like I said, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade around the niching side of things, but I do want to be honest in terms of, I think we have got to really look at, especially in this day and age, I think we've got to really look at, like, where are people willing to pay more money? Certainly when we're looking at our one-to-one coaching packages, like, what actually makes sense? Or do we need to look at a different business model that actually will work better with it? And again, if you're stuck around that, and if you want to have a conversation about that, do book in for a chat with me, book in for a free call, book in for a clarity call. I'll pop all the links and everything in there, and we can explore what that might look like for you and your business. But yes, there we have a very quick rundown of how to find your niche as a coach. I will also say as well, I haven't mentioned, but I have got a full course that talks all about this. So I created a course called The Unboxed Guide to Niche and Messaging, and I cover all of this process with worksheets and trainings and things to help you work through this, so that by the end of it, you have a clear definition of what your niche is, and also your message as well, so that you feel that you've got something that you can really take and run with that is going to make sense for you and your business. And yeah. So do check that out if that is something that would be useful. I base that a lot on the things that I've experienced. Like I say, I really struggled with this for a long time, and it's only been recently that I've really felt better about and really happy with how I define who it is that I work with. As always, guys, I really hope that this has been helpful. If you're listening on the podcast, please leave a review. As always, it is much appreciated. And I will see you next week, guys. Take care. Bye.